Speaking on this program is Brother James Watkins.
We were talking last week of an interesting passage found in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Now, the inspired writer said, "Take heed, lest there should be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God. But exhort one another day by day, so long as it's called a day, lest any one of you should be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." And we were discussing that statement, the deceitfulness of sin. Now, we pointed out that the inspired writer is addressing Christians. He is writing to the Lord's church, as all of the epistles in the New Testament are addressed to the church, thus instruction given for the individual child of God. We tried to point out in the message last week how very easily Satan confuses the minds of men. Sin is deceitful in its very nature. In writing to Christians, instruction is given, of course, throughout the Word of God. And yet, I find the people who are guilty of being deceived by Satan. For instance, in Hebrews 10, verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the custom of some is, but exhort one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching." The Lord gives me 6 days to carry on my business and to make a living and to enjoy life and association with my family and my friends, and that's wonderful. And then on the first day of the week, I have an exalted privilege, superior to anything that occurs on the other 6 days. Upon the first day of the week, the church comes together to commemorate the death and resurrection of the Son of God. Yes, the saints assemble on the first day of the week to worship. There's no greater privilege vouchsafed the sons of men than for a sinner such as I to be allowed, granted the privilege of coming into the divine presence for the purpose of worship. The one from whom all blessings flow, to whom I am totally responsible for every blessing that I enjoy. I have the opportunity and the privilege of assembly with those of like precious faith for the purpose of worship. Right. What was it the Hebrew writer said? Oh, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the custom of some is. You mean there were those who were willfully forsaking the assembly? Well, friend, when you look around today, I'm not talking about bad people. I'm talking about good people. But there are those who miss the assembly for various reasons. And someone says, well, I mean, hey, that's just one assembly. I mean, I'm regular and faithful in my... That's just one time. Friends, Eve just ate one piece of delicious, tasty fruit. Good for food. Pleasant to the eye. Just one piece of fruit. Well, what was so bad about that? It was in violation of God's word. It's called sin. Now, we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the custom of some is. Now, let me say this. Be sure that we're understood. Absenteeism, per se, is not a sin. No, you may be in the hospital. Or you may be attending the needs of a sick friend. We understand about that, and the Lord knows about that. Oh, but when we willfully forsake the assembly, friend, that's a public sin. Oh, and every time. Yes, but someone says, you know, my son, that's the only ball game I'm going to be able to attend. Well, sure. Your relationship to your son is important. There's no question about that. You need to give him support in every way, but the greatest support that you can give him is to show him the important matters in life. Your relationship to God is primary. Nothing is to be allowed to get in the way. Now, remember that Martha had Jesus over and his disciples and to feed them. Then Martha is serving. I mean, she's working diligently to provide whatever may be needed on the occasion. However, her sister Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to what he had to say. And Martha's perturbed. She said to Jesus, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister leaves me to serve alone? Bid her that she come and help me." Now listen to Jesus. "Martha, Martha, thou art concerned with many things. Oh, but one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen the better part, which shall not be taken away from her." Are you saying that what Martha is doing is not important? No. As a matter of fact, Martha is lauded for her service, giving of her abilities, working with her hands to show the expression of her heart. She loves the Lord. And, as a matter of fact, verse 5 of John chapter 11 tells me that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Oh, they had a special place in his heart. But what is he teaching here? Friends, physical matters are important. Yes, service is indeed important. But how often will you have an opportunity to sit at the feet of Emmanuel, God with us, and hear the words that fall from his lips? That was an exalted privilege. That should take precedence over everything else. We need to distinguish between the good and the better. Oh, and we also need to distinguish between the better and the best. And we need to give our lives to the very best, accomplishing the Lord's will. So, keep in mind, willful absenteeism is a sin. I need to be very careful, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the custom of some is, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Listen, for if we sin willfully, after having received a knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no longer a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversary. They that set aside Moses' law died without compassion upon the word of two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be counted worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite to the Spirit of grace. That's right on through verse 27, Hebrews 10. Well, what is that talking about? Well, friend, the subject is absenteeism, willful absenteeism. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And some people have a negative attitude. If we aren't careful, deceitfulness of sin, it's amazing how it works on us. Someone says, "Well, I don't have to come on Wednesday night." Bible doesn't say you have to attend Sunday night service. The Bible does not say you have to attend Sunday morning. Christianity is not a have-to religion, it's a get-to religion. When you gave your life, motivated by love, in faith, to the service of the Master, friend, that's a total dedication. That is a commitment. Why do I love him? Because he loved me enough to give his life, I mean to die, the horrible death of crucifixion, to redeem my soul. To save a reprobate such as I, the sinless Son of God, died by crucifixion. That's a love beyond my comprehension. So I have dedicated my life to the accomplishment of his will, not just doing his will when it's convenient or handy or, you know, this is the thing. No. I make it a point. Go out of my way. I'm going to avoid those material, physical desires, things that might please the old body, in order to accomplish God's will. You know, that's why the Apostle Paul said, over, I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, about verse 26. He said, "I buffet my body and bring it into bondage, lest after having preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." There are certain needs of the body. There are certain appetites. There are certain drives and propensities within the flesh. Yeah, all of them not bad. No. They were placed there for a purpose and are to be used in harmony with the Lord's instruction. And I can abuse them if I'm not very, very careful. What did you say, Paul? He said, "I buffet my body and bring it into bondage." A spiritual being living in a very physical body has to place the emphasis where it belongs. No, not on the physical man. Not on that fruit of that tree because it's tasty or it looks good or it desire to make me... No. What pleases the Lord? Oh, just doing his will. Oh, with regard to the assembly, friend, when the saints come together, I want to be there. That's it. No, not always convenient. No, not always handy. You may have to make arrangements. Car may break down. May have to get a taxi. Or call somebody. I'm going to do everything I can, everything within my power, to perform according to the Lord's instruction. Too many people decide, that's just one time. That's just, just missed one assembly. That's not too bad. Isn't it amazing if we aren't very, very careful, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin? Easiest thing in the world. But then, we are to pray regularly and fervently to the Lord. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Now, does this mean I'm to be in the posture and the attitude of the position? No. When you read God's Word, you become aware of the fact that He sustains you. He upholds you. You're a spiritual being in an old physical world governed by Satan, and God provides for you and takes care of you. Oh, then you talk to Him about all of the issues of life. You give Him thanks for the blessings, and you thank Him for the trials through which you have passed successfully. We need to talk to our Heavenly Father, just like a child needs close association with his parents. Just so the child of God needs close association with his spiritual parent, our Father. We need to pray without ceasing. I remember in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, he taught them a parable to the end that they ought always to pray and not to faint. Friends, that is so important. Always to pray and not to faint. It's the easiest thing in the world to be deceived by Satan. Now, I belong to the Lord. I'm his child. I need to talk to him. Prayer is vitally essential in the life of the child of God. Lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin's deceit is found in a number of areas. There is, for instance, the matter of lust. There are, as we said, certain drives and propensities within the human frame. God placed these there for a purpose. And properly exercised, they are beautiful and they supply our peace of mind and happiness, our joy. But they can very easily be abused. We're not to lust after evil things. Paul warned us of that, did he not? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, as some of them lusted, fell in one day, 23,000. Be very careful where you place the emphasis of your life. That which you desire or seek to accomplish. Be sure that through the regular reading and study of God's Word, the emphasis is placed upon that which is spiritual, not that which is material. John said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life." Someone says, "Yes, but now, preacher, we have all kinds of temptations." Right. Yes, the deceitfulness of sin. There's no question about that. Let's just get down to some practical matters. Take the dance hall. Now, you think about it for a moment. The close embrace, the dim lights, the soft music, the movement. You're in the physical body, right? There are certain propensities and drives and desires, right? Those things can be cultivated in that kind of an environment. The Christian will not be found in that kind of a relationship. Extremely dangerous. The deceitfulness of sin. It's the easiest thing in the world to decide, I can handle this. That's not bad. Or I really enjoy this. Where do you place the emphasis? On the physical or the spiritual? An automobile. That's just one of the handiest pieces of equipment that we have. As a matter of fact, we could hardly get by today's world without an automobile. And yet, an automobile can take young people miles away from home in a very short time. I need to heed Paul's admonition there. We've noted that, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Oh, be not deceived. Evil companions corrupt good morals. It is amazing the problems that we sometimes encounter because we do not recognize the deceitfulness of sin. We place ourselves in a dangerous position because we have not emphasized that which is spiritual. Nothing wrong with young people being far from home in an automobile. Just be careful of your companions. Be careful how you conduct yourselves one toward the other. We can use perfectly legitimate things and get into a terrible degree of problem and trouble if we do not emphasize the spiritual man. Most of the problems that we hear about, a great number of them, occur because someone's in the bar, they are in the pub, they've been drinking a little bit, and they... Friend, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, a Christian is not going to be found in a bar, in a pub, let alone drinking alcoholic beverage lends itself to destruction. There's no question about that. Lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Now let me say this. Nothing wrong with being inside a room where whiskey is sold. No. Oh, but I need to have a real, viable reason for being there. Possible that in a business deal there's a happy hour and this fellow's over here and I need to talk to him. Nothing wrong with that. But when I go in, I won't have a Coke in my hand. Well, wait a minute. What's wrong with drinking a Coke? Oh, nothing. Nothing wrong with drinking a Coke at all. But you see, I have an influence to guard. My influence is to be for the master. I wouldn't want anybody thinking that I'm carrying an alcoholic beverage in my hand. So I'm going to be very, very careful. It's kind of like Paul said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13. Well, he said, if eating meat caused my brother to stumble, I'll eat no flesh forevermore. Nothing wrong with eating meat. He understands that. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that whatever sacrifice I need to make so that my influence will impact properly upon those who know me, that's what I need to do. Some sacrifice needs to be made. I maybe need to avoid certain things that in and of themselves be perfectly legitimate. Nothing wrong with that. It's not a sin per se. But if my participation in that should destroy my influence, should impact improperly upon a fellow Christian, friend, I need to avoid that. Well, I'm a Christian. Why did Christ come? Oh, to accomplish the will of God. To seek and to save that which is lost. Luke 19:10. What else? He came to do the will of the Father. I remember he said to me, John chapter 21, verse 22, follow thou me. Oh, then whatever is essential in the edification of fellow Christians, that's what I need to be doing. Lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. I need to remember that I committed my life to the accomplishment of the will of God. And that's the way I need to conduct myself in harmony with a thus saith the Lord. Oh, it's the easiest thing in the world to be deceived. You know, one of the problems today in the church, the Hebrew writer writing to Christians, all kinds of divisions and problems and negative circumstances. Friend, all of the division condemned and corrected in the New Testament was in the church. Denominationalism, of course, has nothing to do with New Testament Christianity and didn't exist at that time. It's dealing with the saved, those who are Christian. Christianity is working through one problem after another, motivated always by love. Love opens the Scripture. We determine what the Lord said. We come to a degree of understanding. We come to a unified effort through our application of the instruction contained in God's Word. One of the problems in the Lord's church today is ignorance. Ignorance simply means the absence of knowledge. and we simply are not reading the Scripture as we should. Consequently, every kind of problem arises. A man reads one Scripture without taking into consideration all that God has said on that subject, and he creates a problem within the church. The sum of thy commandments is truth. Psalms 119, verse 160. All that God said is essential. I do not have the truth until I have all that God has said on any one subject. It is amazing how people simply misunderstand the Word of God. In the Synoptics, for instance, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John written, of course, many years later. But in these Synoptics, the same incidents are referred to. One writer may include more than another writer includes. One of the writers may just briefly allude to that, while the other may give detailed teaching that the Lord did on that particular occasion. Now, that's fine. We have to have all that was said on that subject, on that occasion, with regard to that situation, before we have the truth. So we have to put it together as it is written, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, rightly dividing the Word of God. This is where many of the problems come in the church today. Lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, exhort one another day by day, so long as it is called today. You know, that gets down to the importance of the assembly, doesn't it? Sure. We come together, we unite our hearts in prayer, our voices in songs of praise to Jehovah God, and the Word is taught. I listen carefully, and I check the Scripture then to be sure that that is in harmony therewith. It's a good idea to be familiar with the Word of God, so that when you hear the Word of God taught, you know that it is in harmony therewith. That's the most important thing at all, is the regular reading of the Word of God. Ignorance, well, wouldn't be known in the Lord's church if we just read this book readily and regularly with an open mind. We would have a knowledge of truth. Jesus said, I'm the bread that came down out of heaven. And if any man eat of this bread, he'll live forever. Oh, and the bread which I give is my flesh for the life of the world. You remember, of course, John chapter 11, verse 51. Oh, and he said, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day, verse 54. Then that means reading, ingesting the spiritual food that keeps me alive.